Everybody, Merry Christmas and a blessed Happy New Year. First and foremost, I want to give honor to whom honor is due. I want to honor the man of God and the woman of God in this house, Pastor Jason and Barbara Scales. He's watching online this morning, so I need to be on my best behavior. But God bless you, Pastor. I honor you. I honor you. And I love you, and I'm thankful for you. You know, many months ago, I was doing a web search on the internet, and I come across a church called Believers Faith Fellowship. Now, that wasn't by coincidence, wasn't by accident, but God knew that I needed a family. God knew that I needed a covering. And I told my wife, I said, we're going to take a trip. I don't know anything about this church. From the looks of it, I might be one of the minority. But we're going to go in faith. And we came and we felt so welcomed and loved. And I'm proud to be a member today of Believers Faith Fellowship. It's an honor. So when I say thank you, I mean that. Let's open up our Bibles this morning. Pastor has asked me to continue on, maybe closing up his series on praise and worship. Maybe there's a few of you today who have not finished your Christmas shopping. Well, I am an answer to prayer today because I am not a long-winded preacher. And when the Holy Spirit's done, I'm done. Now, I loved my dad, who's a preacher and a pastor for years and years and years of the gospel in the great state of Alabama. But I tell you, my dad would give a 45-minute altar call till everybody in that building was saved two or three times. And Dad told me to learn and take the good and the bad from him, and I did, so I keep it short. And praise the Lord. You know, right quick, I want to say something before we get into the message. You know, Romans 3:23 says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you know what? God came up with a plan, and that is what Christmas is. He sent a Savior where we could get into heaven on somebody else's ticket. That is the good news of Christmas, that a Savior was born. None of us are always perfect, and if we use a slideshow today and put up a projector of our life, our thoughts, our attitude, our actions, all of us would be ashamed. That is why we need a Savior. And I want to make a statement right quick. If our greatest need was information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need was technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need was money, God would have sent an economist. Our greatest need was pleasure, God would have sent an entertainer. But our greatest need was a Savior. And God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who was born into this world from a Virgin Mary. And He came to forgive us because we needed forgiveness of sins. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, that He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I'm thankful today for that gift. I'm glad that my Savior was born. And because He's born, that means that you can be reborn this morning. I want to start out in Scripture today from Psalm 113, verse 3. As we do a little close, there's nothing that I can really say or add to what the man of God has been teaching the last few weeks when it comes to praise and worship. By now, we get meat here in this house, so we should know what praise means. We should know what worship means. And I just want to add a few things today. And the Bible says in Psalm 113 and 3, from the rising of the sun until the sunset, the name of the Lord is to be praised. I want you to think about that. From the time you wake up to the time you go to sleep, I know it may sound impossible, but there should always be a reason for you to be thankful. And praise is simply an expression of appreciation or admiration. Now, some of you may not have experienced life like me, and I may have not experienced life like you, but this is one thing I can say today. We are all here sitting inside a building in a heating environment with clothes on our back this morning, and there is a lot to be thankful for. God has brought you through another year called 2017. And if there is not another reason that you can think of this morning, you may not have all the Christmas gifts under the tree, but you have the ultimate gift this morning, and it's called life, and it's through life of Jesus Christ, an eternal life. I'm going to tell you this morning, the Bible says in Psalm 150, verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Now, from the beginning of time, we had a dilemma. Because in the very beginning, the Bible says that the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. The earth was void. It was dark. But there came a time that God began to speak. And the Bible says throughout several scriptures in Genesis 1 that God said, God said, God said, God said. I'm going somewhere, so stay with me here. God said, and it would be. But it got to a point where God wanted something, somebody, to talk back to him. He created something, and you know, when he got to looking at it, all this stuff I'm doing, it looks good. But I want to have some fellowship with somebody. So it got to a point where he said, you know what, I'm going to look down into the earth that I created, which is wonderful, and I see some dirt. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do something really crazy right now. I'm going to create something with that dirt, and it's going to develop and form into an image called a human. But there's still a problem. He spoke it, created man from dirt, but it's still just a body because there's no life. So we got a problem. There's still no sound coming from that human life because it's not life yet. It's just a form. But all of a sudden, Genesis 2, 7 says, God breathed. He breathed into that body. And you know what took place? All of a sudden, that form became a human spirit. And the man was created called Adam. And all of a sudden, a sound could be released from the earth. And all of a sudden, God could hear somebody talk back to him. You know, there are days where God's looking down on the earth and sometimes all he's seeing is dirt. You know why the only thing he's seeing sometimes is dirt? Because somebody's not saying something. That's because he's waiting, he's listening for a sound, but somebody's quiet. The Bible says, all day long will I praise him. Let me tell you something. When you release something up to heaven, you better get ready because the Bible says, what you sow, you shall reap. Something's going to come back down. So here we are, we find that man, he forms him, he creates him, and now a spirit has taken place. So now sound can be released from the earth. I'm going somewhere, so stay with me here. When you refuse to praise God, you are a part of the thing that God doesn't receive praise from. But when you make a decision to release a sound, then you've gained the attention of heaven. The Bible says in Psalm 103:1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Now, you got to understand, from where I come from in Alabama, you know, we grew up in a culture where the way I did church, it looked crazy for a lot of people because we was raised in a very religious, traditional area. So if I lifted my hands or if I got up on my feet and I jumped, look, you already know, I've told y'all months ago, I can't dance. But sometimes I try to do a little movement. But whatever I do it unto God. And there are times that people may not understand what's going on with you and why you're operating. I'm not talking about just in church. There are times that I've been driving down the road and all of a sudden something hits me. Can anybody relate? There are times in the middle of Walmart or Target where all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord begins to speak, and you know, something takes place. Now, I understand the Bible says we are a peculiar people, and there are those moments where you definitely look peculiar. You look odd and you look strange, but let me tell you something. Never cease to deny God the opportunity, no matter where you're at, to praise Him. Never be ashamed to praise Him. When He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," now we're talking about emotions. He says, soul, so our soul, we know part of that makeup is the mind, the will, and the emotion. So everything in my being is designed to praise God. So while some things may look crazy to other people, to God, it's beautiful. No matter how strange it looks, don't be intimidated to praise God. Don't be ashamed to praise God. The Bible says in Luke 1:46 that Mary said, "My soul does magnify the Lord." That word magnify in the original language through the Greek means to make great or to declare to be great. She said, "My spirit rejoiced in God, my Savior." Even in her belly, she knew there was a reason to praise. She hadn't seen the manifestation yet, but she felt within herself there was a reason to praise. Sometimes you just get the feeling. Sometimes you haven't seen it manifest in the natural, but you know by faith it's just that time to praise. It's just that time to magnify. It's that time to glorify. The psalmist David said in Psalm 122:1, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Why was he so glad about entering into the house of the Lord? Because he was about to connect with God. Let me tell you something. Here's where a lot of people struggle. Some people struggle with truly worshiping and praising God because connecting leads to committing. When you connect with something, sooner or later, there becomes a commitment. There's a responsibility with what you've released yourself to. And a lot of people, they just want a touch from God. Just a touch, just enough to make me feel comfortable today. But I believe that if you made a decision to get up on this cold, chilly Sunday morning on Christmas Eve and come to the house of God, I believe most of you are truly ready to experience more from God. Let me keep it short and sweet, just a few more minutes. Let me tell you something. Praise is the only activity that we're called to do now that we'll continually do for the rest of our life, beyond this life as we know it. We pray now, but there will be a time when our prayers are not needed. We believe now, but there will be a time when our faith will be lost in sight when we see our Savior face to face. We hope, but a time is coming that when we hope for what is glorious, it shall become and be brought to fruition. Praise is with us now and will continue to be in heaven. The psalmist said in Psalm 34:1, "I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth." And he goes on to say in verse 3 of chapter 34, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together." Notice that David first made it personal. In verse 1, he says, "I will bless the Lord." See, before there can be corporate worship, there has to be personal worship. Don't expect the worship team to get up here and be the people that are always the vehicle trying to drive you to a place that you should already be. When you come to church, there should be an expectancy, an excitement, an awakening within your spirit that says, when I get to the house of God with a body of believers, my goodness, there ain't no telling what might take place. Because when two or three are gathered together in his name, the presence of the Lord, it shows up. And where there is unity, the Bible says how beautiful and how pleasant it is for people to dwell in unity. What happens when unity forms? The anointing begins to fall. When we come together in one name, when we come together with one mission to lift up the name of Jesus, the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, the demons tremble. At the name of Jesus, sickness has to leave and demons have to flee. At the name of Jesus, I begin to rise up with strength like the wings of a mighty eagle. If anybody understands that when you praise God, things begin to change, give him a hand clap of praise this morning. Hey, The Bible talks about how he says, I'll bless him at all times. And then he gives us the invitation. Brother Carey, can you help me right quick, sir? I just want you to stand right there. Stand right there. You look toward the people. In this moment, your name's going to be Mountain. You're a good-looking mountain. So he brings about an invitation. He says, first, I've been blessing the Lord. Now I invite you to bless him with me. He says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. This is what happens a lot of times. I'm down here. I'm feeling discouraged. I'm weak. Been struggling today. My flesh is fighting me hard. Maybe the wrong mindset, the wrong attitude. Maybe it's an overload from the work week. Maybe my family just crazy. Don't say amen. I got to behave. My wife is three rows back. But I look up and all I see is a mountain from here. But when I say Jesus, when I begin to think on his goodness, see right now, my mountain, it's right in front of me and I see that mountain. But when I magnify the Lord, I begin to see a bigger picture. Beyond the mountain, I can do as the psalmist said, I will look into the hills from whence cometh my help. For I know that my help cometh from the Lord. And the more you begin to praise God, notice right now my view is on the mountain. But the more I begin to praise, the more I begin to rise. And I begin to start seeing, I'm still seeing a mountain and I can feel the weight of the mountain. But as I magnify the Lord, my view begins to enlarge. And I'm starting to see things a little different. And the more I praise God, the more I lift him up. When I magnify God, the size of my problem hasn't changed. But my view is beginning to change. Oh, magnify the Lord. My mountain hasn't changed when I was down. But when I praise him and I begin to rise up in faith, yeah, my mountain's still here. But my view's a little different. I begin to see the goodness and the glory of my God. What problem are you talking about this morning? I don't care what you're going through. Magnify him. I don't care how big it is. Magnify him. I don't care how bad it's been. Magnify him. It may have been the worst month. There might be more months than there is money. It may have been the worst year, but magnify him. And you watch that mountain. It's got to flee. Somebody praise him for the next 10 seconds. My view's beginning to change. The more I praise him, the more I begin to see things different. The size of my problems haven't changed. But the view of my God in the midst of a situation is changing that whole situation. Isaiah 61 verse 3 says, put on the garment of praise, for the spirit of heaviness. That word heaviness has a lot of meanings. Several meanings means hopelessness, insecurity. Maybe somebody been struggling with suicidal tendencies, depression. As the man of God said earlier, a depressing time for many people. feeling heavy, feeling weighed down. It's tough to praise God when you're carrying a load on your shoulders. My time is coming to a close, but I remember years ago, without going into any details, that I wanted to quit, brother. I wanted to throw in the towel. Felt like I lost everything. Felt like I was all alone. I know many of you have been there. Didn't see a way out of the situation. Said, God, I've been faithful. Been preaching your gospel. And this happens to me? Me, oh Lord? And right there in the middle of my home in Alabama, I was on my knees and I said, Lord, I'm done. I can't take it anymore. But I heard a still small voice. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he told me, he said, you made a vow to me. You told me you would praise me and worship me no matter what. And I said, Lord, but this is too much to carry. I can't do it. And the Holy Spirit reminded me, you told me you would praise me and worship me no matter what. And he reminded me, I know they let you down, but have I let you down? I know they hurt you, but have I hurt you? And then he reminded me of a simple story. Brother, a little over 2,000 years ago, someone decided, made a choice to get on a cross and take every pain, every hurt, every worry, every bit of frustration, every bit of hatred. And he hung on that cross. And he did it for you and I. And so when I thought, brother, I couldn't go any further, I remembered what the scripture told me he did for me. And in that moment of thinking what the pain must have felt like, I begin to think, yeah, I've got it rough, but my goodness, I haven't taken a nail for anybody. They didn't pierce my head with a crown of thorns. They didn't pierce me in the side with a spear. They didn't nail me to a cross and spit at me and mock at me. Who am I to complain? A little over 7 years ago, God began to restore me. And now he's giving me a beautiful family. And what looked hopeless, God gave hope. Because in a moment, I'm sorry, I don't have time to talk about it, but when you really worship God, it means you're creating an altar. An altar represents a moment or a place where something is sacrificed and offered up to God. And in that moment of worship, in that moment where I had an altar before God, there were some things that had to be sacrificed and killed that night. And it was the thinking. And this morning, as you've come together on Christmas Eve, I want to tell you today, maybe some of you, maybe you haven't got the thinking right yet. You know what? That's okay. He's still working on me too. I'm an unfinished product. But today there is hope. Today there is help. If you're a believer today, a believer in Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you, you were built for the battle. You were created for the conflict. God does not sponsor wimps or failures. If you're in the army of God, you were built for this. A son and daughter of the Most High God. Stand to your feet if you will. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 5, it's the first time we see the word worship. First time in the Bible where we see the word worship. And Abraham's going up to the mountain. He doesn't know it yet, but there's a great task ahead. He tells his servants, me and my son, we're going to go up and we're going to worship. We're going to come back down. Little did he know that he would be asked to put Isaac, his beloved son, on the altar. See, the Isaacs represent the thing or the one that you love the most. And in order to really worship God, you've got to be willing to sacrifice the Isaacs. You've got to make sure that God is number one. When we say worship, we're talking about worth it. He's worth it. Worthy. Value. Very special. God saw in Abraham that he was willing to sacrifice what he loved the most just to please his father. See, if you're willing to give it up, you can have it all. If you're willing to lay aside those things that matter to you. Let me tell you something. My wife makes some really good chocolate cake. It's my favorite. And on my birthday, she made me a chocolate cake. Yeah, it was a little flat. It was lean a little. But you know what? She let me have the first piece. Why? Because I was the special boy that day. I was the special person. So I was getting the first. It was designated for me. Let me ask you a question today. What place is the Lord in your life today? While you wrap your gifts, I'm proud of myself. I finished a couple weeks ago. While you wrap your gifts, think about that ultimate gift. If our worship team wants to come back. In close today, will we bow our heads? Lord, let us never forget the price you paid. Thank you, God, for sending your son, Jesus. Today I'm thankful. I'm grateful. I praise you and I worship you. And I honor you. I pray today, God, that anyone that is struggling with depression, you bring comfort, you bring peace today. Anyone hurting, feeling helpless today, we know that you can bring hope and comfort into their life, Lord. Maybe someone's just needing a reconnection with you today, God. The greatest gift of all is salvation. I pray that they believe and receive you in a way they never have before. Can we lift our hands for a moment? Here on this Christmas Eve, let's honor him. Let's give him worship. I honor you, God. I glorify you.